please dial star 611 for assistance.
We get signal, main screen turn on. You're listening to the radio program about hackerspaces. This here little radio program about hackerspaces.
Months ago, we did a show on the Chaos Communication Camp, which was called Queer Geeks, and it was all quite spontaneous because we just got together and thought, hey, we have so many queer people in our friendship circle, and we know that there are so many on this hacker event, but it's kind of no one talks about it, and we talk in private, but not as a public issue. And because we're doing this radio thing, which is public, we thought, why not invite our friends and have a tiny discussion? And then we told Mitch about it, and then we did this radio show 4 months ago. But because we probably have many people who didn't hear us 4 months ago, we should start now by introducing us and this panel that's sitting here. I'm Thomas Onio, a social hacker on Twitter, and I'm a podcast anthropologist, programmer, and also a radio dude here from time to time. And I think we should start with you, Mitch, and explain just a tiny bit of you, who you are, if there may be some people who don't know you. Just suspect. Sure.
Yeah, my name is Mitch Altman, and I make a living from selling TV Be Gone, a keychain that turns TVs off in public places, and I love that, and I make a living from that, and I go around the world teaching people how to solder, quite often with Jimmy, who will maybe talk next, and help hackerspaces get started, and I always come to Chaos Congress, which is one of the highlights of my year.
So I'm Jimmy Rogers, and I'm a full-time hacker. So I travel around the world doing similar things. That's about it.
I'm Stefan Urbach, better known as Tomate. I'm a full-time activist, and I make a living by a normal 9-to-5 job.
Hello, my name is Ruben Starset. I am part of the San Francisco Hackerspace Noisebridge. I also make very interesting, awkward situations happen in and around the city of San Francisco and elsewhere. And I like playing games.
Yeah, I'm Fabienne Fox, Fabienne Serrier, and I'm French-American living in Germany, so really I'm from the internet. And I do hardware hacking, reverse engineering, open source evangelism for hardware, and right now lots of textile stuff full time for the last 6 months, reverse engineering and open sourcing textile production.
GMC?
I am GMC, and I'm figuring out where I am, and I'm hungry.
Oh my God, we had this radio station for this radio show for Vienna Local Radio just the other hour ago, and we just had it down and had no break, but that's not going to stop us. But some people are still missing. We at least expect Willow to rejoin us. She was also part of the panel back in camp. And Dennis also, Andreas Borg, invited, but I'm also not sure if he can make it. So, Mitch, why don't you start? We have a kind of open situation here, which also should be explained. We have an audience sitting right in front of us. I haven't counted how many people, but I see many lovely faces and quite diverse. And we also have a microphone for them, which is here on the chair. And if one of you has a question, just raise your hand and we'll include you in discussion.
Including the ones that are on laptops right now.
Yep. So should I just rant or?
Yeah, I mean, that, but maybe the question, at least in my mind, was why is that there are so rarely someone is openly
gay, lesbian, transsexual, or whatever.
A unicorn. In,
A unicorn. You, oh, unicorn. I don't want to discriminate Ruben. It's kind of, hackers say from themselves that they are creative persons and that they don't take things for granted. But still, you have often the situation that it's quite heteronormative, so it's mostly assumed everywhere that all people are heterosexual, that people with a penis have a male gender, and women have to behave in a certain way. And these things also become issues in hacker spaces, as I've experienced it in mine in Vienna in the MetaLab. We started having gender issues in the 4 months in between the day now and the last panel. And but back at camp, it was really a new thing. I only heard that feminism and CCC are not going well together, but also not much detail about that. And basically just provide a platform here to at least start talking about these issues. Stefan, you...
Can I throw away the feminism issue? Not
yeah, throw
feminism,
it.
Feminism, please. Maybe we could talk about, being open with... our sexual preferences, but not necessarily talk about women in hacking. I'm so sick of it. So, we're a lot of women. We're very geeky. A lot of transgender people are very geeky. A lot of gay men are very geeky. A lot of bi people are very geeky. So who cares? You know, come on.
Well, it'd be nice if we didn't have to care.
I know. The feminism issue is really annoying.
Huh. Well, I'm a feminist. I'm fine being a feminist. I want everyone to feel welcome at NoiseBridge. I didn't mention that in the intro. I co-founded NoiseBridge in San Francisco Hackerspace. And I want everyone to feel welcome at NoiseBridge. Ideally, everyone should feel welcome to come and check us out and see if they like us. And hopefully, if they don't like us, it's not because they don't feel welcome. It might just be because they don't like our brand of hippie, anarchist, punk, weirdo kind of thing that we created. But a lot of people really love it, and it's for everyone to come check out, whether they're a feminist or not. But one thing, we have one rule at NoiseBridge, which is be excellent to each other. And we try to live up to that to the best of our abilities. If someone doesn't live up to that, they hear about it. And for the most part, we work things out pretty quickly and pretty easily. Even stuff that seems high drama, you know, after a week, people are really doing cool things again. So there are a lot of people, transgendered people, female, male, whatever. And I would love it if we lived in a world where we all felt really great about being all of who we are. And unfortunately, we don't live in that world, but we can try to create that for ourselves to the best of our abilities. And in a supportive community, we can all do that way better. So I'd love to see the hacker community become more of that type of community.
Fabienne, coming back to you, what's the issue with feminism?
I don't think it's necessarily feminism. I think it's using the title feminism to say why are you the only girl hacker? And that's asked of every female who does anything technical. So I'm obviously not the only girl hacker, and I've never been the only girl hacker. I think there's crap tons of us, and we're all over the place. I think what's more annoying is the plethora of panels that I'm asked to join on how do we get more women in technology. And that panel is the reason why a lot of women skip these conferences. That's kind of a boring answer, but they don't want to do that thing over and over again where they have to justify themselves. And I think that happens when, no matter your sexual preference, that you have to justify who you are to fit into the geek mold. And I think that happens for anyone. I don't think it's just women. It's obviously not just women.
So what you would like to see is a hackerspace or a world where we live without gender, where we are post-gender and just skip this... ancient ideas of gender separation?
No, I think people should be allowed to express whatever gender they want to express or change their minds about what gender they want to express if that's the case, but I don't think that should have anything to do with your technical ability. And yeah, we're a long way away from that. It's just an annoying question that I get over and over again, so yeah. That's my only annoyance with it. I know it needs to happen until change happens.
We have the first question from the audience. Michi Zeltner is joining.
The microphone is on.
Hi. Not necessarily a question, it's just because I saw this tweet by Ella Dimaxion, if you know her.
Yeah,
probably.
Yeah, Ella.
She just tweeted 3 hours ago, "It would be awesome if I didn't come away from internet rights talks feeling like feminism was one of the problems." And Audrey Penvin from Noisebridge asked, like, and what points were they trying to make about feminism? I'm confused how it could be a problem. And then she said, answered, "The specific context that the conflict between things like sex trafficking or child porn and network neutrality, etc." And I wish I could, like, tell you more about how, why she feels that way. I wish she was here. It would fit perfectly. But
maybe she'll stop by.
Yeah.
She's here in our hearts.
Yeah.
and in our phones.
But yeah, basically, I'm personally quite sad that people like Ella, which I respect and love, feel that feminism can be a problem in conferences like these.
I don't think it's a problem. I'm just going to jump in,
right.
Since I have tits. And you don't have to have tits to, you know, identify as a female gender, but I'm just going to jump in. And what's annoying is not feminism. I consider myself a feminist, and in fact, I was very hurt when I was 8 and my dad called me a feminist, and then he explained what it was, and I said, oh yeah, no, of course I'm that. And I just think the use of the argument about, well, this is a feminist issue, about everything, that it just becomes annoying at some point. And I mean, yeah, okay, we're not 50-50 at a conference like this, but we're getting there. And it ramps up, and it's not just about the women who are actually in hacking, it's the women who feel comfortable enough to come, that they would enjoy and get something out of a conference like this. So I think that's changing, and that's good, and that's not just for women, I think it's for anybody who feels like maybe they were outside the geek, they were on the fringe of the geek scene, and now they feel more comfortable and want to come and participate. I'm hopeful about that.
I think the general intention for people to maybe raise this word of feminism is that it is a fact that the quota of women is lower in those type of tech-oriented scenes,
yeah.
And it's seen as a problem, and usually the number is the strongest argument, which usually is enough to raise a feminism flag. And the general question also is, where are hackerspaces discriminating? You know, why is it that there are so few black people in American hackerspaces, or so few Turkish people in European ones? And I think this question has to be asked no matter which feelings come up.
Sure.
When the word feminism falls.
Sure.
Sorry, Lisa, you are also new to the panel, out of the public.
But yes, is this on?
Yeah.
So, just a comment on that. I think one of the issues here is that we shouldn't just, like, I know it's a stupid phrase, but we shouldn't just identify as the victims here. The problem with feminism and feminist issues, as they are called, is that many male heterosexual geeks just can't, like, see what they're doing wrong. They're, like, doing everything in their power to not be sexist. They are doing everything in their power to be to include women in hackerspaces, and yet there seems to be a feminism issue, and somehow it's like threatening for them. So also, I think some make experiences that they are worse off than girl hackers. They seem to have it all, and yeah, so I think that's two sides of the issue there.
And how do you react to that when you experience such things in hacker scenes? Is this a reason not to go to such a place?
No, I just try to explain that feminism, as I understand it, is I don't know. I heard Tim. Everyone should be equal, and that's the core concept. It's not like free stuff for girls. And I think that's important. That's very important, because many hackers, they just know the mainstream media feminism, where a bunch of women want stuff. And they want to take it from the evil males. And yeah, that's most of what they perceive of as feminism. Yeah, it's cliche a bit, but it sometimes happens like that, and it like poisons the whole atmosphere.
What do the left side of the panel thinks to that? Any opinions, comments, questions?
So the way that I've been, so this is Ruben, and I wasn't on the original panel. I don't know where I was at camp, probably getting drunk in a gutter somewhere.
We were also getting drunk on the panel, so it's okay.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. I mean, it would have been great either way. I'm sure I would have choked on my vomit a lot less if I was on the panel. I listened. Social Hack here told me about it the last day of camp, and I'm like, wow, I totally missed out. I wish I was on this. And went ahead and grabbed the podcast for it and listened to it sitting at Dusseldorf Airport. And immediately had all these brainstorming crazy ideas. And the thing that sort of put me in this direction, and I'll say what this direction is in a second, is Jimmy's comment about how he sees similarities between being queer in any sort of scene to being vegetarian in any sort of scene. And it's a thing that isn't average. And therefore, it's kind of weird for a lot of people. And I thought about that, and I realized that this happens quite often in the hacker community, the hacker spaces community, especially in America. I can't really speak for Europe that much, as I haven't visited that many hacker spaces here, and the ones that I have are pretty awesome. But a lot of hacker spaces in America will kind of get an idea of what a hacker space is, and then build up all the blank parts themselves. And on average, I'll go to any hacker space in America and see a wood shop or a metal shop, some soldering stations, and people hacking on software. And I'll talk to friends in the area and be like, oh, you should go here. Like, you've been to Noisebridge. You've seen how awesome Noisebridge is. You should go here and hack on stuff there. And they're like, well, they don't really do craft stuff, or they don't really make things in a physical space, or they really don't want to talk about, like, natural languages. They don't want to do this. And I'll go to those hacker spaces and ask them, why, what's up, like, why are you not doing these things? And they're like, well, that doesn't seem like hacking. Why would we do that? Hacking is you wield soldering irons and jab them into your keys, and then you have security code or something. And so from that,
the Radio Shack School of Hacking.
Yes. From that, I decided that it would be great to have an open forum and a general place on the internet for people to find resources on how to be accepted as whatever hacker you are. And this could go from any side of the spectrum, from if you want to identify yourself as being a hacker with certain gender preferences, certain preferences in what you hack on, what text editor you use. Are you Vim or Emacs, and are you being ousted at your local hackerspace for using either or? If you're into Windows and you get yelled at.
Totally the same thing, yes.
It's very much the same thing. And when I bring people into my hackerspace, or when I go to other hackerspaces, it's not so much like what particular gender role is getting ousted, or, you know, it's more of like, how can we include all the hackers?
Yes, but also, so my experience in that area was that this isn't a problem until you make it a problem. So you basically have this people, and they are all like, yeah, they are excellent to you, until you like raise an issue, and then they suddenly feel threatened, and that doesn't work very well. It's some of it is basic common sense. I mean, if you're a vegetarian, that's fine, don't eat any meat. But if you start being a missionary, same thing with Emacs. Yeah, it's fine, it's a great editor, tell people about it. But if you're like telling people, yeah, Emacs is the rules and V is the sucks, then yeah, you gotta get some pushback.
Yeah, no, I understand that.
Naturally.
I completely agree with you. I don't go around. I should take that back. I totally go around and preach to people about the operating system that I like and all this other stuff. But for me, it's a little bit more fun and games in that sort of sense. But in the sense of like, a good example is, so we've got all these gender issues, we've got all these preferences for certain things, and we want to be accepted for all of them. There's a particular person at Noisebridge who, if you would like to talk to him about Christianity, he will totally talk your ear off about Christianity. I have introduced him to people, and I'm like, this is so-and-so, and this is so-and-so. This person here talks to God. And there's a little bit of giggling, and we look at him, and he's like, yes, I talk to God in very weird and interesting ways, and he talks back to me in ways that cannot be confirmed nor denied. And that was pretty much the only time that he's actually talked to someone about his religious preference was when he was asked about it. And he's really, really good about being in a space and being a hacker there, as opposed to being preaching about anything like that. And I feel like that's a thing that we can teach to other hackers, is how to be okay with who you are, how to have other people be okay with who you are, and how not to be offended by other people completely going out of their way to preach and trying to talk with them about that, and also not being a preacher yourself. I feel like those are important skills that we could teach to other hackers.
Yeah, and another side of the coin, especially what I was talking about with the vegetarian comment in the previous talk, was that people make comments about these things. Even if you don't bring it up, it's just like, oh, let's go out to this place that's serving meat. It's like, well, I don't eat meat. And then they're like, oh, you're one of those. It's like, well, okay, yes, I'm one of those. But, and it's the same thing for being queer sometimes. But yeah, I don't know how to get around that.
Sorry if I'm taking too much time, but the thing is, I think I've heard a phrase that everyone has a right to be made fun of, and in a certain way. So it doesn't mean that anyone takes you less seriously. It's just, humor is sometimes like a tool to accept people better, weird as it sounds, but it's like a provocative question. So they ask you this and they see, like, if you are totally, totally offended, then that will probably never happen again. Yep. But if you like troll back right there, then yeah, that's gonna be some mode of talking to you, of course.
Yeah, and another point that got brought up in the longer form of the discussion last time was that to me, the hacker scene has been the most inclusive community I've ever been part of. Yeah.
It's not perfect.
No, it's far from perfect.
But it's pretty high up there.
But, you know, when I say that I'm queer or I'm vegetarian or I use Windows on my laptop because I use Windows on my laptop. Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Whoa. Exactly like that. Some people will be like, no, you didn't just say that. But it's usually accepted because I have reasons for it as well, and people in this community will accept those things on the long term. And Ruben's a troll, so he's going to pick on me.
I'm going to troll right here and point out a very, very ironic observation that we have the table split by gender.
Oh, actually. Oh, yeah.
But not by hardware versus software. So
correct, correct.
Yeah.
She is a robot now. I'm so sorry. I was herding kittens, or funneling kittens, if you prefer.
Yeah,
herding.
Yes,
doesn't matter.
I'm Willow Blue. Hello, everyone. I'm so sorry for not respecting your time more. Yes, sorry, sorry for not respecting everyone's time more. I was funneling kittens.
It's very good to have you here, and we are actually at a point in the discussion where we also were 4 months ago about hackers being so inclusive, and
inclusive
to Stefan because he has some experiences in the opposite direction.
My experience were no, they are not.
Yeah.
Hackers are not inclusive. I had the worst time in my life when I've got to my first hackerspace. Mm-hmm. It was a very worst time in my life. It was about 15 years ago, and I had been there a few months ago, and it was nothing better. They did not change. And an experience I made in many hackerspaces in Europe was that it's not cool to be queer. it's still not cool. There are some great hacker spaces where it's no problem at all, but in the most hacker spaces, it is a problem. And if you address the problem, then you're the uncool guy who has a problem. And this just doesn't work.
Yeah.
Well, I'll just, you know, like a statement like it's no different is not really accurate. For some hackerspaces, maybe it's not different. I don't know. But the scene in general is Mongo huge. I've been all over the world. Everyone knows I'm queer. I don't make it a secret. I've never felt personally any discrimination for being queer. I'd never hit on people who I meet and they don't want to be hit on, but that might not go over well. But that's not really being excellent, because that's not very consensual. But yeah, I've had no experience on queerness going around in the queer scene. Like what kind of specific, if you're okay talking about it, is, without naming names, I don't know, happened that makes you feel so bad about what you experienced?
At least it was a language. Problems being gay, what the fuck? It is not a problem to be gay, and the problem is not gay at all. And language hurts. If you heard one time, maybe it's okay. The second time, okay. But after the third time, this really sucks. And language can do so much to you and can harm you so much. And we see it in the schools, on the schoolyard, when people tell each other gay as a bad word.
That's so gay.
Yeah, that's so gay. And no, it's not. It had nothing to do with being gay or being queer or whatever. So, and if you didn't tell people that this use of language is hurting you in a personal manner, then, well, many do not get it. They just do not get it. And then you try to explain and, hey, come on, it really hurts me if you say this is a problem, this is gay. They just do not get it. And this is, I think, the problem.
Yes. I don't want to diminish your personal experiences in any way, but you're basically asking people to change like very fundamental principles about personality. You have this. We're always talking about this heteronormative framework, like it was some evil empire that just existed, and we had to, smash it, charm it, whatever.
I agree that we're asking people to change what cultures and worldviews they have, and
so we can feel better.
Right, but I think that that's an acceptable thing to ask. I have much higher expectations from hackers than I do from anyone else that I interact with, because they examine the systems that they interact with. And so when I explain it, and I'm not saying that I'm like upset with them for having it in the first place, but if I ask them to examine it and then they don't, I don't think of them as very much of a hacker anymore, because they're not willing to take on that system.
Mm. I see your point, but the problem is for them. Like I said, we're always seeing the problems we're having, but we're not really. I don't know. We haven't talked about their problems yet. And one of the problems you may have as a hacker is that you're like trying to find your role as let's just say with a basic white Caucasian male type who maybe in some cases has trouble finding a girlfriend. And so, yeah, your position is like not the best one. You cannot say, hey, I'm special, I'm unique, I just gotta stand up for myself and stuff. You're like, hey, I'm like everyone else, but somehow I'm defective because it doesn't work for me. And then people come along and ask you, hey, you're being totally sexist, even if you're trying not to, and sometimes you just actually slip and say, yeah, that's something gay, because you like identify effeminate, effeminate, femininity. Yeah, sorry. Didn't have a lot of sleep.
Just mumble the last part.
you don't. Didn't like 48 hours and didn't sleep very much. Anyhow, you identify that as something you want to avoid a bit because you're feeling that you have too much of it and thus don't really fit in. And yeah, so they're asking you to, just for them, just for one or two persons, to totally change how you think in their presence. And so this is generating a lot of stress. I know that a bit of that, or some of that can be expected from people who call themselves critical, call themselves analytical about systems. But yeah, you always have to like examine the borders of that, because
what you describe here is very good for the current situation we are in, and also the pathway on which most feminist or equalism or queer discussions end. It's like, you want me to change and I don't want to. It's like as if we were speaking about arguments or right or wrong or correct language and incorrect language. But I think we forget in this discussion that we're speaking about a group of people which has some diversity in it. And this diversity is new. It's newly introduced to a system. We're not speaking about people who are socialized and raised in a society where you have equally distributed genders, you know, more exactly as much females as you do males, queer people as you do heterosexuals or non-sexual or whatever. We are raised in a society with a specific balance of what's visible.
And many of us do struggle to find their place in that society.
Exactly. Everyone has this individual struggle of where do I belong. And if people connect to a hacker scene, I think Willa is right that we can expect some kind of deconstruction willingness and ability in the people.
Yes,
the point
exactly
I want to make here is that it's like classical theory when you want to integrate two groups of people, if you have foreigners in a country. Integration only works if both sides really come together and you negotiate a new type of language or rules of social responsibility and how to interact with each other. And I think why this discussion is not happening is because mostly if the word feminism comes up, people feel hurt. It's also something which...
Or those of us women feel annoyed.
Yeah.
We don't want to have the same discussion over and over again.
Because it's not something you can discuss. I think it's something you have to experience and then make your own conclusions out of it. And Stefan is nearly killing me.
I wanted to jump in earlier, but it is not the problem that there's a white Caucasian male not getting a girlfriend, because my bug is not fucking hetero, so I don't want to call, I don't want a bug have called fucking gay, so as I not call a bug fucking hetero, is this discriminating that an object has the same things as your sexuality? This is just discriminating, and this just hurts, and I will not accept any longer a fucking gay bug. Full stop.
Yeah, I see your point.
Good.
As far as having high expectations for people, I don't just do that with the hacker community. I think that people who have, especially geeks who have had a hard time in life, or queer folk who have had a hard time in life, or the lovely Venn diagram overlap that we have here, we want to be accepting of people in whatever their experience is, including if it's bigoted. And I don't think that's acceptable. I think it's okay to expect more out of people.
I'm definitely bigoted against bigoted people. and I'm intolerant of intolerant people, and I'm totally okay with that. The thing is, we all have prejudices, all of us. You know, it's a matter of degree. I don't go out bashing queers. I am homophobic, though, because I was raised to be by my parents, by my peers. I still carry all of that. I don't want to be. Racism against black people, being raised in an all-white area and being taught that black people are less than. But I don't go out lynching people. I wasn't taught to lynch black people, I wasn't taught to bash queers, but I was taught that over and over again from before I was able to think that certain people are less than others, and not even those specific words. But I'm very aware of, as I try to be as aware as possible of my prejudices when they surface, so that I don't act out on them at other people. And I expect that from others as well, and I'm often quite disappointed. And any expectation is bound to bring disappointment, and that's my own perhaps failing. But I expect that from myself, and I don't see a problem of giving other people an opportunity to rise to an occasion as well. Yes, I am asking people to change. I'm asking myself to change. Whenever we have an interplay, we have an opportunity for change. Hopefully it's an opportunity to change for the better, so that I can live a better life, so the person that I'm interacting with can do something, you know, it doesn't have to be like, wow, mind-blowing, but just, you know, something a little bit better comes out of it. If someone says something that's hurtful to me, I want to tell them.
Sorry. I seem to be the
it's okay.
Advocate or Diabolo here. Yes, I think it's a very noble quest to be that way. I'm trying myself to be as accepting as possible. But I think we queers have it a bit easier. Because we are having the problem yourself and identifying with the queer group in some way. Because they are all like-minded people and they all have this sort of problems. It really makes it easier to have that position of, yeah, you should definitely change yourself. It's not so hard. Look, I did it. Yes, of course you did it, because it also helps yourself. I mean, yeah, it's a mean argument, but it actually cuts. You, it's also more beneficial to you. I mean, in the long run, it's beneficial to everyone if we are as accepting as possible. But in the right now, for people, it's asking them to change for something, some profit in the future, and it's harder to do.
Yeah, it's not easy. None of this stuff is easy. You know, growing up queer in a homophobic society is way difficult.
Yeah, tell me about it.
Yeah, and you know, growing up being feeling less than for being who you are is awful in so many ways. And when it's your sexuality that's deemed to be at fault by so many other people, that's a huge part of anyone, and that's incredibly difficult. But you know, in our society, Judeo-Christian upbringing or whatever, there's so many things in any culture that are accentuated by the culture and put down by the culture, and that's part of what any culture needs for people to conform enough for so the culture to can endure through time. But some cultures have certain things that are very galling against you know, segments of its population. You know, here we live in a population where you know, slightly more than half of the population is less than politically. That's totally not okay as I see it. And we have 10% being way not okay for being out, being queer. And
I think even within queer scene, we talked about this last time on the last panel, that I mean, I personally was walking with a march of lesbians and they told me I couldn't march with them because I was bi. So this, it doesn't necessarily mean that if you're in the queer scene, you will have peers and people who've got your back. I think all of us have stuff we deal with that where we don't even fit into the thing we're supposed to fit into. So I'm not sure that we're so protected by fellow queers. I think that's kind of a myth too.
Well, you know, it's a strange community. We're thrown together because we're discriminated against. It doesn't mean that we're all alike. But hopefully that means that we know what it's like to be discriminated against and that we have in common. We also have in common that we know what it's like to internalize external hatred and make it internal. And we have that in common, too. So often, though, when I'm a political minority group, a person in a political minority has an opportunity to put some other person they perceive in another group down, they take it as a means of momentarily boosting your failing self-esteem. And I see that as unfortunate. I did that, of course, as a little kid. I was beaten up brutally almost every day of my life as a little kid in school, and teachers stood around and watched as it happened, and that gave me a worldview which was not very nice. And it also reinforced to me that I really am worthless. And as a little kid, how could I believe anything but? But as soon as I had an opportunity to pick on another little kid, I grabbed it, and it felt fucking awful. And that incredibly awful feeling that I felt from doing that made me question why I continued. But yeah, I can see it in myself, so I can understand where it comes from in other people. I hated myself. That's still part of who I am, someone who hates myself. That'll never totally go away, no matter how long I live. You know, I carry all that stuff in me. We all carry whatever past we have. But it doesn't mean that I have to continue to act out from that. And feeling part of a group of people who can relate on whatever level, this gives us an opportunity to empathize. It doesn't mean that we're all going to be buddy-buddy and the world's going to be kumbaya. It would be nice, but you know, it's just not who we are. But we can relate to people on that level and feel part of a community and live and grow and become better people as a result. And you know, that's why I moved to San Francisco from Chicago, and then rural, middle Illinois, surrounded by corn. It's a place where surrounded by queer people that I don't relate to, but I feel way better that way than surrounded by people who are hostile.
And then, at least experience when he was a child. Many queer hackers experience nearly the same things, not this hard, but they experience that they are not wanted in a society of hetero people, that they are, well, somehow other people than the rest of their school classes on something. And then they come to in this geek culture, and which is told that it's very open-minded and very open, and that you're accepted however you are, and it doesn't matter, it could be a dog, the things you do are counting, and at least this is a lie. No. Because it counts. It counts who you are and what you are, not only what you do.
Sorry, but our experiences are different.
At the end, this is also a political decision. I mean, we're speaking about a collective that if it wants to, can be capable of quite amazing things, and also can turn things around. Especially here at Congress, we see this over time. So I think the question has to be asked, what is the situation now, and where are we heading? What is the vision? Frank Rieger and every keynote is always feeding us with visions of where to head for, whom to hate and whom to love and what to do. And maybe this is also an issue which we should talk about, and also maybe to give some context how this year happened. I mean, after the panel 4 months ago, we made a mailing list. Rubin made a site, or at least you registered.
I have plans to make a site, and that's really unfortunate that I haven't had the time
to come back here at Congress, because we're all going to be here. And Mitch had the idea of doing a panel. And the panel was not accepted. First we thought about the general feminist issue, because I mean, it's been said to me from quite high voices that whenever something remotely sounds like feminism, it has no chance at the Congress to be accepted. And
I don't think that's necessarily true. That's a bit of a harsh way of saying it. And
that's the way it was said.
Okay. I mean,
the point is now even that many people felt a strong need for this thing here happening, and so we were granted this room and we were granted these freedoms to do this thing here, and it was announced, and so there is something moving, but it's not a homogeneous block, and it's definitely something some people definitely want not to be public knowledge.
So I think the goal is to not need something like this. In the same way that I don't know how upset you all are, that there are still like girls in comic books, because I go to a lot of comic cons, and there's still like girls in or women in tech. Like, I don't want to do that because it's just another form of self-segregation, and it, you know that you're successful when you don't need it anymore. I know that some of you have already heard this example, but before I broke my arm doing parkour, and we used to have a fem jam because women move differently than men. We just do. We have lower centers of gravity. We have different sets of strength, etc. We have hips. God damn it! and it was one of the hardest things of my life to come to terms with. You know, I'm pretty burly for a lady. I should be able to do all these things, and I can't. And that's okay, because I can figure out new things. But in having these fem jams, you had a great sense of camaraderie, but when we had them once a week, women didn't go to any of the other classes or any of the other jams, and so it ended up being making the problem worse. But when we did it once a month, then it meant that everybody still went to the other classes, but you still had that sense of support. And so that's my ideal of success, is not doing this anymore.
If I may interject, I was in the room when the decision was made. We didn't actually want to reject the panel as such. We just wanted to change the format because a panel with like 8 people who have the same opinion generally is pretty boring for the audience. So we wanted to have something in this style, more of it. But also, you're right, there were voices inside the organizing, inside or at least in the Berlin Club, who said this was not necessary. There is a strong feeling, at least in some places, that we are past all the problems, because at least in Berlin, it's in the Berlin CCC, it doesn't seem to be a problem, and then
sorry,
people
no.
assume it's the same everywhere else, and so we don't need it anymore.
I don't think it's through all the chaos traps.
Stefan, you
yeah. Sorry, but no. It is,
yeah.
It is even in Berlin a problem.
And, I mean, Berlin has 1530 hackerspaces, so to generalize from one hackerspace to all the rest of them is kind of crazy. But
yeah.
Okay, the person I was talking to could only make statements for the CCCP. Okay.
What's your name? Sorry.
Henrik.
So what's your general opinion? I mean, if you could speak from the inside, also when it comes to equal hacker equality, maybe as this is the domain that Ruben registered, when it comes to such issues, is there a sense of we need this, or we are fine as we are and better not talk about it because it will clear itself?
Yes, when the statements were made that I just repeated that we probably don't need it anymore, there was violent opposition in the room because apparently there are places where we need this. Herr Obach just repeated that very nicely. So that is one of my main reasons for supporting this, because while our charta states that we are an open intergalactic accumulation of life forms, apparently that's not sunk in everywhere yet, so yeah, that's why we probably still need this.
Yeah, we have another question from the audience, please.
So, one of the part of what I've seen is there's not necessarily a lot of articulation of this issue from a positive, inclusive perspective of like this phrase hacker equality. Doesn't by default exclude the people who are in the majority automatically by saying like you are the perpetrators of the evil and then the other people are like the victims, and therefore that it sets
the whole thing with the hacker equality. I don't feel like it's about pointing fingers. I don't feel that at all. It's very much a like there are problems, and I think that they're more social problems than a group versus another group. It's very much a like, it's not so much let's go and fix these people. It's there's a problem. Let's hack up some solutions.
Okay, so I'm not sure what solutions you have in mind, but the goal perhaps in solving this should be to have a positive idea in the minds of all people that this is that supersedes any individual subcategory that we might belong to.
That would be great.
Maybe part of the reluctance of, you know, the majority to deal with these things is that in their personal experience with minorities, a lot of these situations seem to, you know, be summed up in the, well, like, you're doing it wrong. It's like they say that's that bug is so gay, and you say, hey, hello. And so I think that maybe the majority is, fears that these panels and so on will be, you know, a fest of them being told they're doing it wrong. You know what I mean? That you know, when these small things happen, it's, you know, they're always caught on the wrong foot. And I think that it needs a very big person at that situation to say, wow, you're right, I'm sorry. You know, because you...
If I can respond, so there was the whole generic conversation a little earlier that someone said about, how do you have so many girls, or why do you have so little girls, and blah, blah, blah. At Noisebridge, we get a lot of traffic from people from other hackerspaces that have heard so much about it. A lot of thanks to Mitch and a bunch of us that kind of go around the world, and we try to be as inclusive as we can with Noisebridge. And I don't point fingers and say, hey, you guys don't have enough girls, or hey, you guys don't have enough this, or insert random thing here. It's them that do it. It's them that come out and say, what the hell are we doing wrong? Like, what? Like, why do you have...
What could we do
better? What could we do better to figure this out? And it's not so much like figuring out that particular problem. Like the whole feminist issue is you've got a hole and you've got a peg. How do we get that peg in the hole to make the whole world better? And my thing is... I just trolled all you guys.
Ruben the troll, everyone.
It's more of there are all these weird little shapes. It's the and you got to get them in all the weird little holes or whatever, or vice versa. And I don't necessarily want to tell someone fix that one particular problem, fix that one peg or hole or whatever. It's more of there are tons of them, and you just have to be accepting of getting them all together and getting them all to work. I feel like people expect this answer of, well, we don't discriminate against girls, or we don't
women,
sure.
Girls,
that
boys,
insert that obscure gender there, whatever it may be.
Tesla sexual.
Tesla sexual. We don't. You know, I feel like they're waiting. They're waiting to hear that answer, and my answer is we don't discriminate. Period. We are extremely exclusive. Period. You want to go and work on your like Godzilla generating machine biometric thingamabob? Can you teach a class? Great. Please come in and do it. I don't care like who you are, what you are, what you do. And I feel like with Noisebridge, there was this potential early on for it to be the CCC of America, the CCC of San Francisco. That was the model that a lot of people took back from camp in, was it 07?
Yeah.
And tried to create Noisebridge. Like, we want this crazy little hackerspace for software stuff, for hardware stuff, and that's it. And then a bunch of other crazy San Francisco people showed up, and they're like, well, what about photography? Or what about having, mushrooms, like growing mushrooms? Or what about this thing and that thing and that thing? And we were hard up for people, and we're like, sure, like, can you teach a class about it? Can you do this? Can you do that? And before we knew it, we had this completely different weird hackerspace where we just didn't say no. We didn't say, no, you can't do that. And it's when you say no, that's when the real problem is.
I'd like to say that you do a lot better when you define yourselves by what you are and what you aim to be than by saying we're not that, or we're not this other thing, or we're not like them, but you say this is what we're going to be. So Noisebridge says we're going to be inclusive, we're going to be excellent to each other. And Jigsaw, the space in Seattle that I founded, is we're a learning and making community. We learn and we make stuff. And it's not, there are many other hackerspaces around us, and we didn't say, well, we aren't like them because of this, or we're not like them because of that. It was, we're going to do our own thing. This is what we're doing. And so it wasn't in the negative sense.
Yeah, so a point that I've been wanting to bring up for a little bit is
another problem oftentimes, especially with whatever the dominant paradigm or the normative community, whatever that is they don't actually see the problem. Like, it's oftentimes a visibility problem. I was just recently in Japan and having this conversation at dinner that blew my mind, and somebody brought up, was like, oh, so what do gay people do in Japan? And one of the girls that we just happened, she's Japanese, at dinner, like, the or two of the girls, they were like, oh, there aren't any gay people in Japan. And I went, no, I can definitely tell you there are gay people in Japan. And they were like, no, they really don't. Or, like, you know, it's like a funny thing. And I was like, no, there are gay clubs. There are gay clubs you can go to with other gay people. And they were like, oh, no. And it's, yeah, I mean, it's just like, I'm like, yeah. So, I mean, visibility is a large part of it. But I have a point that I'm going towards. But,
oh, a point, finally.
Yeah, I know, a point. Yeah. So, I still got it. But basically, so there's also an important aspect. And another thing is, like, a lot of women that I've talked to in these events, in hacker conferences, at maker fairs and things like that, oftentimes the problems are that people don't understand that the behavior that they're doing is not cool. So I think that it's very important that we tell people in a safe way that says, this behavior that you're doing, this is not cool. This is making me feel uncomfortable, or, you know, this has made somebody else feel uncomfortable, because that brings the issue up. And I mean, it may rock the boat, but it's important that people understand that this actually is an issue, because, I mean, I can imagine that some people who thought that this panel didn't need to happen, they don't see that this is an issue because that's outside of their normal worldview, so they don't see that as a problem. They don't see it happening, but yeah.
Short comment to that. The problem with that is that often you just use exactly those words. So you don't really realize this is a problem, and I want to talk to you about why this is a problem. And normally, if you have a problem with anyone saying anything you don't approve of, you just say, hey, don't say that. Hey. Or something similar. If you use that formal language and stuff, then it's exactly this kind of, we are such a poor, discriminated group, and we have it so hard. Please, oh please, give us some...
Winking.
It sounds like that.
Hi, I'm Exaltzer for another social hack. First of all, I'd like to say that I don't think that there's a single social group at any scale on the planet that does not feel discriminated against or persecuted. Yeah, and it's just a question of scale. No matter what group it is that some of us might feel excluded from, that group also feels excluded from somewhere at some way. And I think that as a heterosexual person who sees themselves as actually gay from identity, but heterosexual from sexual identity, if that doesn't sound too strange,
well, that's compute.
That oftentimes, I like to use the example of Israel doing to Palestine what was done to them over centuries. And I think that when a subgroup inside of a persecuted subgroup is fighting for its identity, it's sort of like a losing battle, in the same way that the Palestinians are fighting for their identity against a group that felt persecuted. So it's sort of a systemic human trait that we have to deal with. And I think that from this perspective that I tried to identify being a heterosexual gay person, that this self-identification puts one in a ghetto that often leads to the problem being more extreme than it would be if one did not do that.
Well, it really depends on how you handle things. You know, if we're really hurting, we might act out when we're feeling hurt. Another possibility is responding rather than reacting. And so when I find myself in a situation where my feelings are hurt, rather than saying, you can't say that, of course they can say that. They can say whatever the fuck they want. I can say whatever the fuck they want. But if I want to have a positive engagement with someone with a possibility of making my life better, the possibility of them going away with something positive, I can say, you know, my feelings are hurt from you saying that.
And I totally agree with that. I just want to bring it back to the way that the panel sort of started, the frustration of expressing, saying, "Oh, another feminist panel. I don't even want to deal with this," and just stepping back from the definition of terms often does a lot to reduce those sort of conflict. Yes, yeah. I think what I hear is people expressing their own personal experience as opposed to them expressing a belief in a certain way of life, that each one of us has our own individual experiences that have happened as a result of who we are, and that has very little to do with whether or not one belongs to a included or excluded subgroup.
I think this was the plan from the beginning onwards. We now have another question from Michi Trettner.
Comment more than question again. So when I like the persecution thing and the language, what you said earlier, Lisa, that basically this finger pointing, that people are afraid of finger pointing, and that you often like mention, oh, this is a problem, like don't say that, and then people feel offended and such. When we had our first gender issue meeting at MITLAB, an idea just randomly popped into my head of like trying to have a sort of like positive engagement while telling people that what they're saying right there isn't necessarily like a nice thing to say in general. So I started using a nerdy way of telling people like, hey, yeah, using gay as a derogatory term isn't cool. And I just started saying like, deprecated warning, gay is not supported as a derogatory term anymore. Please look for another term. People, when I said that, first like looked at me and was like, okay, wait. And then I explained to them, look, we have a bunch of people here who don't feel very good with that sort of stuff, and it was actually a positive engagement otherwise. So that finger pointing, I find, is like we should really like care about the language, and yeah, be inclusive in our criticism.
Yeah, and also like in general, whenever I have someone who is saying something that's really offensive towards somebody, or I learn later that something that they were doing was making someone else feel uncomfortable, I don't gang up on them, I don't bring it up in public, you know, I pull them off to the side and say, like, look, this behavior, this language is very uncomfortable for some people, you know, I don't even isolate it or anything like that. It's just, this is an important dialogue to have. You have to bring it up to them or they're gonna keep doing it. But, yeah.
There was a while where I would tell people, I'm sorry, did you just come here from the 1990s when they would say gay as a derogatory term? And it works really well, surprisingly enough.
I like the deprecated exception.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to say too. Humor works great because it doesn't put you in this, you did something terrible, you should be ashamed for all your life and for being who you are, and that's kind of what we are doing when we are like having these, oh my god, you hurt my feelings. I mean yes, it can hurt that much. I think I never had that experience personally. I mean, I'm transsexual, and people make jokes, I just take them lightly, I just can brush it off, I can deflect them, whatever. I don't get like I don't get really hurt feelings about it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So I've never made that experience of being totally having a total buzzkill because someone said something in that direction.
Yeah, I wanted to react to it because when I see someone use gay or hear someone use gay as a derogatory term, it doesn't necessarily hurt me, but it hurts the me I was when I was 13, 14. And actually, I know a kid who also got hurt. And I myself came close to killing myself because I believed I was not worth it. And that's what bothers me the most about this. And that's what I tell people. I mean, I know a kid who killed himself because this language use.
Yeah.
And when I say that, people say, oh, shit. And mostly it's carelessness because they... Yeah, the term gay, it's...
They do not care.
Well,
it often is, but...
But after I tell them, they often do care, because they know...
Exactly.
Yeah, then they care, but they just don't know
but
it.
Well,
it's a social norm to use these kind of phrases, or like a huge number of people in the United States would use the word niggered without even thinking about the consequences of how it made people feel. And if people are aware of how it makes people feel without feeling attacked by it, then they can actually eventually decide or not to change the way they express themselves. So, but the thing is, we have to let people know how we feel, otherwise there's no way anyone will know. We can't read each other's minds. And this is the way things change, is by letting people know. And, you know, we have a world now where 10%, it's estimated, of people are queer in some way or other sexually, and only about 1% are out. We have a situation where everyone knows at least someone, if not many people, who are queer, but they don't know it. They don't know it because only 1% are out. And we live in a world where it's not safe to be out. In some places, you're killed. Even in the United States, even in the San Francisco Bay Area, even in San Francisco, people have been bashed to death simply for being queer. So it's not easy to come out. We don't know the consequences of what reactions it will bring out in other people. But until it's a situation where everyone can be out with being queer in whatever way they are, or being who they are in all respects, the hacker equality thing, if we can feel really good about ourselves being who we are, it's much easier to do that. But it's this whole cycle. We live in a world where it's not safe to be out with who we are, so we're not going to be out. But until we're out with who we are, people are not even going to know that people aren't all fitting some bizarre notion of normal. But in actuality, You list all of the qualities of what you think normal might be, and there isn't a single person on the planet that has all of them, so no one's normal. It would be really weird if someone were. So,
I feel normal. Yeah. I feel very normal.
I can normalize a function, but, the thing is... It comes down to, again, because we're put down for who we are, we internalize that and we put ourselves down for who we are. We don't feel safe telling other people truly who we are. And so it just all self-perpetuates. And it's a really sad situation. I mean, it would be great if we didn't need a queer geeks panel. It would be great if we didn't ever had to talk about feminism, if we didn't have to educate people about being who we are and the effects that other people can have on saying stuff that hurt one another's feelings. But, this isn't the planet we happen to live on at the moment.
I kind of want to have a little rebuttal here, and in the best interest of moving this discussion along.
You're just trolling.
Yeah, I'm just trolling. Discussions are great. I want to start seeing action. We're a bunch of hackers. Everybody in the room, if you consider yourself a hacker, raise your hand. There are people out here that hate us. Totally hate us. There are people in our community that think that our name is wrong and shameful. And there was a huge discussion about this on the Hackerspaces mailing list, where I don't remember which Hackspace it was, but they wanted to change our name from Hackerspaces to Makerspaces. And it was this huge, ugly discussion, this mugslinging contest. And and people will lynch me for this, the idiots that kept the discussion going sucked. And I don't remember who it was, but someone was like, well, here's a solution to the problem, here's a hack, let's start educating people, let's start making some stickers that say hacking isn't a crime, let's start talking to the people that come by our space and try to explain to them what this term means to us, let's make a movement towards this. That thread won. That thread got my thumbs up. And this is my contribution to this is
getting the stupid hacker quality website going whenever, and also our mailing list. We should work towards hacks. We should work towards solutions to this. I think panels are great in that they provide a forum for discussion, but it's pointless if we don't have any movement past it.
I have action that I take, which is one of my favorite things, because I fly so much. I soft pack, for those of you who don't know what that means. I have a prosthetic at-rest penis that goes in my pants. And so when I, because I always opt out, because I'm comfortable having this conversation. I have a lot of friends who
You opt out of metal detector scans.
Right, right, sorry. The body scan. Yeah, I opt out of the cancer-causing, scary-as-shit thing for other reasons. But because I have so many friends who do that as a part of their identity, and I'm not connected to it in any way. Like, I'm not personally insulted if someone is upset with me about that or confused about that or what have you. And so when they give me my pat down and they ask if I have any prosthetics, I say yes. I'm soft packing. I explain what it is. I explain why it's done. And I'm like, so what do you, just so you know? And they're like, well, do you want to be screened in private? No, I don't have a problem with this. You're the one with a problem with this. And like if you want to send a gentleman over, I'm comfortable with that. If you want to pat me down, lady type, you are also welcome to do that. And make sure that they write it down in their book. I try to have them call over whatever trainee they have, and I have to get to the airport super fucking early, but it's a way of, and I'm totally friendly about it, and get their name and make eye contact and everything else. They usually won't shake my hand. I think they're not, but that's okay. And so that's, and it's fun. And there are things that you can do like this all the time that just, like, so that's my action, and I love it. So there you go.
I do realize, though, that this is exactly the kind of thing that people will use as a reason why we are weird.
But I mean, we are weird. We're all weird.
Well, it depends how you handle it.
Weird. It's sometimes
totally
weird.
Right?
So just like I want to hear weird in what way?
We are weird in a way that we do not conform to those expectations of normality, whatever that is.
I'm totally okay with that.
And you're putting it in people's faces. Yeah.
I'm totally okay with that.
We are hacking and redefining what normality is with these actions that we
Yeah,
play.
And some people don't like that, and they don't like it in that way.
Not everybody has to like me.
Yeah.
If that's the case, I have something they can suck.
So there's a bunch of people in the audience wanting to say things as well.
I just wanted to say that I think we need to make a distinction between politics and everyday life here. I mean, in politics, we should oppose any kind of discrimination as strongly as we can, be it in terms of marriage equality or whatever. And but I think in everyday life, maybe I'm a bit too moderate on this because I've never been bullied in school because I was gay. I think we should meet those people with humor as much as we can. So because I don't think that those people are necessarily evil or good or anything like that. They just, you have to get into their minds and see what they feel, and that they normally they don't even want to hurt you. It's just everyday language they use, and they don't even have any conscience and notion of what they are doing to someone who's gay or with their words. And so you have, sometimes you should just be a bit interrupt me. Yeah, you want to say something?
Less politically correct, less formal.
You should just not be too harsh with the people. You should just say, okay, come on, I'm gay, and don't make such a fuss about it. But you don't always have to be over politically correct. This, at least to me as a gay person, if I meet another queer guy or a girl or whatever, and this person is so over politically correct that it can't even laugh about my own gay jokes, then I feel awkward at that moment. So yeah. I think this is a huge problem in the gay community, that sometimes they forget that they are dealing with people there that have their feelings and
Sorry, but I will not accept that a minority has to respect the feelings of the majority.
Why not? Those are the same people.
No, sorry.
They have the same sob stories as we do.
Well, we should respect each other's feelings, but when someone is in anger putting someone else down, or putting someone else down to bolster themselves up, they should be told that it's not okay for me when you do that. I mean, we have to let people know when our feelings are hurt, otherwise they won't know.
Yeah.
But we don't have to do it in a way that attacks the other person. We can do it in a way, you know, but we all have our own style. You know, someone who's really hurting might not be able to accept a gay joke ever until they find some form of healing in their life and they can feel more comfortable with who they are. And someone else, it's just, you know, water off their back, it's no problem at all. Someone might do trolling kind of things as a matter of course. Someone else might just be very personal and just say where they're at, matter of fact, without attacking. Someone who's really angry might not be able to help themselves because of all the hurt in them. You know, we all have our own styles, and if we're all trying to do the best we can, maybe over time we'll improve. And maybe over time people who say hurtful things will think about it before they say it and maybe do it less. But we have little control over ourselves. We definitely don't have control over other people, but we can do our best.
I disagree with him.
I just have a little bit of framing when it comes to this whole argument that a minority.
Can you stand up?
Sure. No, the floor is talking.
Oh, there.
Yes, noise is coming from the floor. I just have a little bit of framing about this whole argument that we need to be nicer and that we need to be less confrontational when we encounter people who are saying things that we don't like, or, you know, who are gay bashing, or who are making women uncomfortable. And I want to talk a little bit about why this is really not. Why this is not the same thing. Why minorities having to be nice to the majority in order not to make them uncomfortable is very different from the majority having to be nice to the minority in order to not make them uncomfortable. And it's all about the balance of power. When a largely heterosexual majority doesn't like you, they can take away your, you know, they can deny you, say, the right to get married, or the right to spousal support, or all kinds of, you know, tax and governmental rights. And when, say, heterosexual people make queer people uncomfortable, what are we gonna do to them? That is where the power lies, and that is why that particular framing is so important.
We can call it lol's sex.
May I just?
No?
Yeah. You got it, yeah.
Okay. Well, there's people over here who haven't spoken and are wanting to.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. Is it on? Yeah. I'm Raphael, and just briefly to maybe try to transcend this whole issue, because I think it's pretty clear that this is not really just about sexual identity or about gender. I think everyone is in his personal minority. Like it was said, everyone's weird, really weird. And even those straight people who are economically successful and whatever you like, they are weird as well, yeah? It might just be that for whatever reason, they are not able to, you know, come out with it, with their own weirdness, whatever it might be. And so I think, from what Mitch said earlier, that even picking on someone, it doesn't feel good, you know, in the end. You start hating yourself. So I think the goal and the distributed version of achieving all of this, I think, can be just personally try to be as open in expressing your identity and your opinions, and at the same time be as inclusive as you can be to the people around, so that then they might also feel comfortable to come out with their story. Because I think no matter how normal they seem, they're so weird as well. Everyone is. So I think it's really about trying to just really apply this yourself. Stop self-censoring, and then other people can join and start building structures of support structures where this is being enabled more and more. And then, you know, this can be maybe alleviated in not just gender, but social, political, economic spheres, wherever you like.
Isa, can you hold it off till we finish the audience questions? Yeah.
I've got two things. First of all, I have to admit that I have a problem with this whole everybody's weird thing. You know, as a woman, I have measurable disadvantages of being for being a woman, and so I know that for a heterosexual white male, not his whole life will be fluffy unicorns all day. I realize that, but still,
except for Ruben.
But still, I have a problem with, you know, sort of declaring heterosexual white males a persecuted group at this point too. That's one thing. The second thing is what you said, that that there can be too much political correctness. You know, I've actually been called a traitor to the cause because in everyday life, I just want to be one of the guys. You know, I'm a programmer, and that means most of them are male, and that means that to be normal, I'm one of the guys. You know, the radio listeners can't see that, but I'm sitting here in a skirt. I've got obvious tits, so it's hard to miss that I'm
and
female.
And crocheting.
Knitting.
Because guys don't knit.
So a lot of these, a lot of the things that the ivory tower feminists demand of me would disrupt my everyday life. If I made issues out of every little things that my male coworkers did, my life would be hell. And so I'm basically stuck between, you know, sort of silently proving that women can be good programmers too, while enjoying myself and my interactions with the coworkers. And on the other hand, the banshees from the ivory tower are shouting in my ear, you know, you should make an issue out of that. You know, you're a traitor to the cause and whatnot. So I understand this disparity between the political and the everyday life. That's it.
So, yeah, comment also on the persecution. We recently had our first ban for life at MITLAB, and I'm strangely proud of it. I'm going to contextualize it. We had this guy who drank on a regular basis, insulted people. We humorously tried to interact with him and make him understand that he's making people uncomfortable. Kept happening up until a night where he kept pestering people and then started to make awful comments about, oh, you're a woman, why would you get a driver's license? Why? And at a certain point, I exploded, and then the most calm person at MITLAB exploded and then screamed at the guy, which was like, holy fuck, I didn't even know that he could even do that. But anyway, so it was really uncomfortable. I felt like shit, but we tried to make him leave just for the day and deal with it later on. But he wanted to talk about this now, in that moment. So we had several board members talk to him and other people talk to him, like in a very, very calm voice, like calm down and whatever. But he kept talking about stuff like, yeah, well, if women play in the Viennese Philharmonics, we're all going to shit.
Well, and women have already, so we're all going to shit.
Yeah, you know, but I mean, like,
for the very first violinist.
But here's the thing. That was the moment at which we realized, okay, he obviously feels persecuted as a white middle class male, and he obviously, like, he said that, and he was just unable to, like, get into arguments. And that's the point at which it was clear that, okay, yeah, sorry, if you're not actually willing to discuss this, and if you're just insulting people, you're incompatible with us. Get the fuck out now. And it ruined my evening, and not only my evening, but the rest of my week to a certain extent. But I was really happy that MetaLab as a community finally got to the point where it's self-regulating enough that there's an agreement that there's an asshole in the room and that we don't want that asshole here.
I want to clarify that. I didn't say that white heterosexual males are a persecuted minority. That's definitely not an answer to what were you saying. I just wanted to throw into the room that I think that most people, no matter who they are, feel persecuted or discriminated against in some way. And that is essentially the reason why people who are different from them feel so threatened or persecuted by them. They're expressing something that they feel, exactly what it is that Michael's trying to get across. And really, I don't think that what we're hearing in this room that's based around the issues of gender or transgender or sexuality is any different than the way that the geek or nerd or hacker community feels itself as a whole in society. I don't see any difference from the emotional reaction to feeling singled out for being different than you hear in the hacker community as a whole.
I'd like to give something real quick. Can all the white heterosexual males in this room please raise your hand? Okay. White. Can all the white heterosexual males please raise your hand? Okay. It's up to you. It's up to you. Please keep your hand up. Keep your hands up. Please put your hand down if you don't have any problems in your life. Well, come on now. Oh my God.
And I think he was trolling you.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah. I think like, I don't know, I step back from this and I see that we all have problems and we're all getting yelled at by other people and it kind of sucks and I don't see gender issues. I see it as a big problem. I see a lot of being accepted for who you are as a big problem too. Yeah. And I think we're all in this and we're all in the same boat here. And it's not so much saying, I've got problems, please accept me and like, let's make this problem not be a problem. It's let's all work together to make this not suck for all of us.
Can we come back to a bit of positivity and like positive action that we could do? Because I wanted to add in the fact that I was super uncomfortable when we had a hacker event. It was an explicitly hacker event and there were strippers involved. And someone said, well, if there were male strippers, and there was one male stripper, would you have felt more comfortable? And I said, no, I think it would made everybody feel uncomfortable that there were seven women taking their clothes off and one man taking his clothes off. I felt uncomfortable for the man as well. So not because it's all cool, but I don't want to be bombarded at a hacker event with something explicitly sexual when I didn't sign up for it. So that was the number one thing. And beyond that, I like to say that the easiest way to get queer people involved in your space is to invite them. And I know that's a really hard thing to say. It was like, well, I don't know anyone who's queer, but that's bullshit. So if you invite more queer people, whether those are women, whether those are men, whether those are transsexual people, people who identify whatever, unicorns, invite them to come do something at your space, not just participate, but invite them to do a workshop. And when you have someone who actually organizes something for you, you find that the participants that you didn't realize were actually in your neighborhood will come join you. And it's because that person is a social circle that actually hadn't been invited into your space before. And if you invite someone to run a workshop, then those other people are going to join and participate in that workshop. And one of the easiest things is I had a conference that I threw, and I had half the workshops were run by women. Some of those people were openly gay women, and we had gay men running workshops, and we had half women, half men at the entire conference. This was a 200-person event, so and this was a purely geek event. So I don't think it's a big deal. I didn't notice it until someone said, oh my God, we have to write a news story about you because you have the most female-attended event ever. And I said, well, I just invited the geeks I knew. And so I think what you should do is just actively invite queer people to do events at your space.
A great statement, also something where people probably can take direct action upon. We have another 30 minutes left, quite exactly, and
okay,
maybe...
I'm going to take this shirt off then, and hold this back. not to, I'm not trying to strip or anything, but...
Please,
Do I want to see that?
Wait, for
yeah, really? Really, I want to?
Okay. I'm feeling more responsible for the radio listeners, and therefore...
it's all negativity. I mean, we are like positive and do stuff. I think there is this issue about we didn't really you mentioned it, but I really think it necessitates further mentioning that we should definitely separate the issues of everyday politics and hackerspaces, because those two are not the same thing. We have discrimination in the real world, yes, but in the hackerspace it's a totally different story. And in the hackerspace, most people really do have a background where they were a lot of people were made fun of as a kid. A lot of people know how it feels to be separated from the rest of the world, and they know this. And if we're gonna tell them, you are part of the big ugly patriarchy, evil empire, then we are just hurting them like two times, because once we are saying you are hurting not only us but also a lot of people not in your monkey sphere, that's the people you basically know, you're just hurting a lot of virtual people we could have met up at that moment. And and at the other hand, we just deny all their personal experiences as victims of what is actually not discrimination against whatever group they're in, but against people who don't fit the idea of normality in general.
So I think it's time for conclusive statements, and I may begin. What I take home from this year is that visibility is important, and it changes a lot if you start seeing people from minorities around you. And it may not be so much the talking that helps, than is the fact that you experience people who just happen to be from some other group you may not belong to. So this visibility aspect, I think, was the main reason why we did the show, and I think we did it well. And another thing that I clearly see here is that no one wants to be victimized, no one wants to be made a victim of. So on the one hand, that this feminism word can feel like I'm hurting you with something, I'm putting you in a box and have to make you fit, no matter how which other aspects you have.
I feel like,
and also the
word.
Rubens, shut up.
And that
also
is the correct response for Ruben.
I have a T-shirt for that.
He said, "Shut up."
Yeah.
And don't feel that you should become a victim if people call your names. There are so many ways to respond to that, and we had a few funny ones, creative ones, which are so much better than creating a situation of hatred. And this is something for everyone maybe to remember. And maybe we have time to come to some conclusive statements or extension of the hackerspace's design patterns, which try to include this this aspect of how to deal with queer issues, queer people, equality in general. Because therefore these design patterns exist. Another question from you.
Yeah, just something very brief about being a victim or feeling like a victim. There's a very simple dialectic which explains this. There is the victim and the perpetrator. And then there's a third one, like a triangle, which is the observer. And then on the tip of the pyramid, you have the consciousness about the whole process and the whole dynamics. So it's not just important to stop feeling like a victim and stop accepting to be a victim or feel victimized, but of course also not being a perpetrator in whatever other way you might be and might not even know consciously about it. And just really see this from a, I think, like meta viewpoint to understand it and then really just transcend the issue personally for yourself.
Yes.
Mitch.
Yeah, well, you know, there's so much we've covered in things that's brought up personally for people as well as politically overall, and you know, there's things that are clearly political, there's things that are clearly personal. There's no absolute way of seeing where the dividing line is. Me living my life, I see that as highly political. I try to live my life with being as much as I can of who I am all the time. That's political. Just being who I am and out with who I am pisses people off. I'm not trying to piss people off, but that just is something that happens with me being who I am. I want to make people feel good about who they are. That's my intent. I want to feel good about who I am. I want to help other people feel good about who they are. But a lot of people aren't comfortable with that. I've been a vegetarian since 1980. Things are different now as far as vegetarianism goes. There used to be times when all I had to do was sit in a restaurant with people and I'd order a salad. I wouldn't be like smugly eating my salad. You know, oozing smugness. I would just be eating my salad and there would be people angry at me for being a vegetarian. Obviously, you're a vegetarian, you're eating a salad.
You are one of those.
Yeah, you're one of those. And so, you know, it transcends the personal when you are truly who you are and don't try to hide it. Because I think everyone really is a fucking weirdo. We are all weird, but there's a lot of pressure to conform, to act some set of norms. When you don't do that, it's a political act, even if you're not doing it purposely politically. But for me, in my own personal experience, when I do that, my life becomes so much better overall, even if I have to deal with people being angry at me for being who I am. But I feel better about it for me. And then that person has an opportunity to think about their actions when they're not getting the reaction out of me that they were expecting. And quite often, the people who are most angry with me for being who I am are the people who they relate to the weirdness that I'm exhibiting in their eyes. So I know several of those people who were angry at me just merely for eating a salad later became vegetarian because they felt better that way health-wise. And they didn't want to deal with that because that proved they're a fucking weirdo. Coming out as gay is certainly not easy for a lot of people. For some people, fortunately, it hasn't been hard for them, but unfortunately, most people it is. Coming out as gay is very, very, very personal, and yet coming out as gay is incredibly political. It has an effect on not just you, but the society of people all around you, and I see that as an incredibly good thing. It gives us all an opportunity to grow more of into who we are and gives other people more by an example that it's totally not only okay, but a really great thing. So, yeah, like, I don't know how to wrap all that up into a soundbite, but, you know, I definitely see us getting together here. We're not going to come to consensus on all the issues we raised up, and we don't have to. We're all different. But I hope we can all see that coming together as we have has been positive in some way, if not in many ways. I certainly feel that.
Totally agree with Mitch in that, and would hand over to you, Jimmy.
Yeah, I mean, my absolute favorite thing about being in the hacker culture is the people, hands down. I mean, and what I would really like to see is a dialogue of some sort continue. And I know that any of the panelists here would be absolutely fine with talking about these things later on, especially for people in the audience who are not comfortable being open about who they are or coming
online.
Yeah, or online. Exactly, online. I mean, we didn't cover it as much in this talk, which I wish we would have, but in the previous talk, because pretty much everyone here has had, in the panel, has had bouts of depression and angst and stuff about these issues. As Mitch said, like, coming out is really hard for most people. And so I just want to say that I am here for anybody who needs to talk about this. Yeah, I've had friends who have also killed themselves and have had issues with not just being queer, but just in general. And I mean, we're here for you. My goal for this is to say, not only do we exist, but we're a community that we are trying to be supportive, and we love you, and we want you to be happy. And it does get better. Whatever is wrong and whatever is going on, it does get better. I was a terribly, terribly depressed teenager, attempted suicide, and I'm really glad that I did not succeed in this task, because I really fucking love my life, and I love the people that I surround myself with. And so, yeah, my point is that not only talk about it in general, but talk to other people here. So, yeah, that's about it.
Yeah, let me say it more too, because, you know, if we don't feel it's okay to reach out when we need help, then we really are alone. And we're not alone. Even if we feel incredibly, horribly, depressing, monstrously alone, there are many of us who either have felt that to an extreme or are feeling that now. And we are not alone in those feelings. If we can create at least some more openness so that it's okay to let people know when you're feeling depressed or alone about being queer or whatever, then hopefully someone who may not have otherwise can reach out and ask for help rather than harming themselves. So, as my friend Ilya did last month. So, yeah, please, if you ever have feeling like you want to harm yourself, ask for help. There's plenty of people who are willing to give it, no matter who you are. Even if you've had terrible experiences in the past reaching out. So, it can get better. And it's totally okay to cry. So, my email address is mitch@cornfieldelectronics.com. Feel free to email me about anything, anytime.
For me, this is a difficult situation because I feel responsible as a kind of moderator to keep the stupid idea of the narrative of such a show. And they would just throw this narrative away.
And it's okay.
But we'll stick to the time. We have another 16 minutes, and I'd like to give the word to other people here. But I don't think that it is the crying which the people want to hear from us. I think you can do better.
You have
more important things to say.
It's okay if you cry. Yeah, you
cry. Why you do it? It's only okay.
No, I will not. Even if I was ranting at the beginning, in fact, this community is the most open community I ever have seen. I was ever part of, and it's great to be in this community. And we have issues as a community to solve, but I'm sure we will solve this issue.
He's trolling.
I'm trolling.
Yeah.
So a good friend of mine told me very recently, the third best solution is always a wiki. So we have a site. There's nothing on it right now. Hopefully within the next 4 hours or without sleeping, I will get something up. But I think panels are neat. But I, like I said, I want to see action. I want to see more participation on a global scale. We have a mailing list. We have a domain, hackerequality.org, I think. Hopefully there'll be something on it before this podcast goes out to the greater world or something.
We can right now point to list.hackerspaces.org where the equality mailing list can be found and freely subscribed.
Please subscribe and participate in discussion. I mean, we're hackers here. We come up with creative and innovative solutions to things that people normally don't even see as problems. We can come up with neat stuff to make this not suck. Yes.
So.
Yes, I couldn't agree more. The community of hackers is really, as far as I know it, is really, really great. And I think the issues that there seem to be can easily be solved if we are working together.
I've also lost friends this year, so if you're listening to this and you don't know me, that's fine. You can email me too. It's Fabian@Fabian.us, and I will talk with you about it, about whatever you want to talk about, because it's not worth it to take your life if you're in pain, whether you're suffering because you're not coming out or from anything else in your life. And I'm open to talk with you about it. You don't have to be as snarky or as ranty as I am to survive it, but it helps. but we as a community, and I'm definitely not the gay community, I'm not the queer community, I'm not the female community, I'm not the hacker community, but we as a community of humans are here to listen and to talk to you about whatever that pain is, and to fix it, because there's some way to get through it and enjoy living in this funky universe that we call ours.
So it's always good to talk to people, especially when things are bad, but I think especially in this group of people, we're always looking for the holes in things. We're always looking for what's wrong. We're looking for the next exploit. I started a 5-hour love bomb session the last time I had a gathering of friends, where I just took a minute and seriously took 10 seconds to tell each person in the room why I love them, like why they're in my life. Because we call each other on our bullshit and we're always ranting at each other, et cetera. But it was like, no, I adore you. I adore that you live in a shiny future that no one else can see yet, and it causes everything to be hard for you. I've told that to some of my friends before, and then I was like, okay, and I'm done being mushy. You know, I'm supposed to be a robot. I don't have feelings. And like, we can go back. And everybody else said, no, I want to do that too. And it turned into a 5-hour thing of everybody telling each other why they loved one another. And so I'm comfortable with that mushy moment now, you know, but it wasn't the most robotic thing I've ever done, but it did optimize for the group, and that's good, right? So definitely if you don't know who to reach out to, or you're not comfortable being vulnerable to the people who are around you, or you don't know how to do that, or if reaching out to Mitch and Fabian is a good idea for you, definitely do that. But also remember that there are people around you who deeply care about you, that we don't talk about that because we're badasses, right? But still do it. Just fucking do it. Also tell Mitch and Fabian why you love them. Okay, there we go.
Am I now supposed to say? I'm quite speechless. I mean, I'm tired, hungry, emotional. I don't know. Just Ruben, get the site online already.
Oh. Ruben, let's do it.
Do it now. We're doing it live.
Call to action. Get the site online.
Yeah,
Fuck it, we'll get it live.
I'm doing it right now.
Maybe say thanks to the audience.
Good boy.
Yes. Yeah. That's what I'm about to do. Thank everyone here present and participating in the discussion, which was a real discussion, and that's what it's meant to be. And hopefully it continues. We have the mailing list. We will have the site. We are all here. We don't disappear in dust after this talk.
Actually, there's a meetup tonight.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, so if you are in Berlin or around the Congress, there's actually a queer meetup tonight. It's Queer Geeks and Naughty Nerds at Silver Future, which is...
in Kreuzberg.
Yeah.
And they have... they have the best sign ever. When you walk in, it says, you have just left the heteronormative sector.
Yeah. Yeah, where's the...
Google the Silver Future.
Find it out. I'm not sure it's if it's still on.
Yeah.
Yeah, there... Silver Future, and it's near Hammerplatz. I don't know the name of the street, but...
Yeah, we'll have a group.
Hey, we have Google.
Search for it in your favorite mapping system.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you search for queer geeks and naughty nerds, it'll come up.
Yeah, we'll have a group leaving from BCC to go there. But for the people who are listening and who aren't here right now, just use a search engine for Silver Future Berlin. You will find it, and go there and meet us. Just approach any of us. We're willing to talk about whatever. And it doesn't even have to be about being queer. It could be about hacking. Holy shit.
Or being
almost,
naughty.
Yeah. It's almost what we're here for. So, anyways.
I also want to thank everyone listening, and I want to thank all of you from the bottom of my heart for being here and participating, and it's been good hearing the input of a lot more people than just the talking mouths that were on the podcast that I heard 6 months ago or however many months ago.
Good. And I thank you all and wish you a good night. Wish you a good life, in fact, and hopefully
no one sleeps.
We will make another of these panels at least at the next Congress, if not earlier. And maybe we have new design patterns for hackerspaces by then. I'd love to see that. Thanks, everyone.
Pi Radio. Sie hören Pi Radio.
*611 for assistance.
We get signal. Main screen turn on. You're listening to the radio program about hackerspaces. This here little radio program about hackerspaces. Mom, 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 mom